I did not know whether the ministerial was finished, otherwise I would have teed up better.
Takes a lot of nerve, you keep wanting to come back.
He must like us.
Mr. President, first of all, thank you and good morning.
Morning, sir.
I did speak a lot at the Planning Commission meeting and did speak in the microphone, so I've been warned that I should be paying attention, make sure the sound is good. First one before you, and I really like to remind you my memo covers both the items 1 and 2 under the engineer's agenda, Amendment 10 and Amendment 1. And the reason you see two amendments for our North Planning Area engineers, Whitman and Record, is because one is the standard engineering form and the other one is the joint council. That's a different form used by USDA, one of our funding agencies, in one of the projects. Now, you've heard me before, we had two construction awards, one for the Millville Spur Lines and one for the Angola North area. In each one of these presentations, I reminded you that I will be back with an amendment to the engineering contract to cover construction administration and inspection services. Now, in the past, we used to approach each one of these projects as a standalone project and had staff, I want to say consultant staff, assigned to them individually. That is a way to do this, and it's certainly a very, let's say, conservative approach. However, in the world of tight budgets, whether they're third-party funding or our funding, and because some of these projects are very tight in the budget and may actually have to go over and we may have to require additional funding from the agencies, our consultants and myself thought a more innovative approach to that. So as you can see in the memo, there are three projects teeing up. Angola North, the biggest one, Millville, and shortly thereafter, the Route 54 Williamsville project. So by staffing them together instead of individually, sharing team members, inspectors, as well as one construction administrator above all three projects, with one liaison person on our side, we were able to put together a significantly reduced approach in cost. As a matter of fact, between the consultants and myself and my staff, we estimated the savings in the order of one-third of the cost versus what it would have cost otherwise. So it was an opportunity. It certainly doesn't arise in any and all times, but this makes sense. Supported by our team members here upstairs from the utility construction side, they were involved every step of the way. This is what we call linear assets. These are pipeline projects, and they are moving, so it's not a stationary, what I call vertical asset. We have two vertical assets which are under design, which is the South Coastal and the Inland Base project. We will reassess our approach to both of these when I come to you in hopefully within the next 6 months on both of these. So having said that, there's really two motions associated with it if you were so inclined, and each one of them deals with the funding source differently. Any questions from the council?
You should do your first motion.
First motion. Thank you, sir. First motion is be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 10 to the base engineering contract for the North Coastal Planning Area with Whitman Record and Associates be approved in the amount not to exceed $430,102 for construction administration and project inspection for the Angola North and Route 54 expansion projects pending state revolving loan fund approval.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion, we accept.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes, for savings.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The next one is the joint council one. Be moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, amendment number 1, to the EJCDC agreement with Whitman Record and Associates be approved in the amount not to exceed $79,688 for construction administration and project inspection for the Millville Northeast expansion, Irons Lane Pump Station 311, pending USDA funding agency approval.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on a motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next one, as our residents from Heron Bay pointed out is really a poster child of what needs to be fixed in our current Chapter 99 subdivision of land documents. So I don't know whether anybody of you has had the opportunity to go beyond our introduction the last time when Mr. Robertson and I discussed the various items, but any and all items you're wrestling with in Heron Bay are addressed in the amendments, in the ordinance coming up before you on March 14th, because I'm very pleased to say that the Planning Commission did recommend that you consider the document as presented and amended by staff. Mr. Robertson and I had a number of, and nine to be total, between the planning director, the council, and the engineer. So these are coming up. Now, what's before you today is a memorandum which clearly, as you heard the residents say, has the interest of our residents in Heron Bay. Now, I made it very clear to my discussions with the residents when I explained the various steps in there that we cannot share documents before council has seen them and approved them. So there's a very delicate balance we have to strike when it comes to what we share and what we can't share and what we shouldn't share. I want to make sure that you understand, or you know, that our counsel, our legal counsel, was involved every step of the way developing this document, because it has some fairly detailed clauses in there which pertain to the rights of us and the rights of the developer, really more the rights of not challenging the agreement and our steps we're taking under it. So it's a very important point to consider, as all these clauses obviously written not by the county engineer but by the council. We had to make a change to the underlying amenities plan. The amenities plan was not implementable. Our residents pointed that out. The plan was nondescript. The plan was, let's leave it at that. It was 12 years old, and so is the design. The subdivision design was under the 80s rules. It was approved in 2005 and correctly stated. The project has been underway for 10 years, and we are finally to the point that we are installing amenities. Now, speaking to the ordinance again, the ordinance identifies amenities as a phase. The ordinance allows, either by proffer or by approval, or by condition of the commission and you, to time it and tee it up. I'm just mentioning it here because all these things seem to be very interconnected, and it's a good opportunity to get on my soapbox. So what you see here is we're dealing with the amenities. We have now an implementable plan. The Planning Commission has reapproved the plan, and it is in anybody's hands now. It's fully detailed. All the landscaping is called out. All the amenities are called out to a detail required in order to install them. There's now a timeline in the memorandum how they must be installed. There is a timeline to the remaining improvements. There is a kick-out clause for any driveway construction. There is a requirement for surveyors to stake out driveways so we don't cut them again for the poor residents who just moved in. And then here, Mr. Midlars comes along, the county engineer requires the driveways to be cut. I'm probably not the most popular person in Heron Bay, but I think in the long run, the residents will appreciate the fact that we're not backing up the water in front of the house and we're not causing problems for their neighbors. So there are kick-out clauses for driveways, there are stakeout requirements, there are as-building requirements for driveways. There is every step of the way, as you can read in this memorandum, we verify, and if it's not verified, then the memorandum stops. So if everybody plays together, the residents, you and I, will have a great fall in Heron Bay with a lot of amenities to enjoy. If not, we're not any worse off than we are today. But this is our best effort. It took a lot of time and effort to get there. So I'm going to get off the box and turn it back.
You have a motion, sir?
I do have a motion. And I appreciate you giving me the time.
That's not a problem. This has been an ongoing issue that everybody wants to get solved.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Sussex County, Heron Bay Associates, LLC, and LC Homes Delaware, Inc. for the completion of the remaining correctional drainage work and the amenities in the Heron Bay development as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Question is, with regard to this memorandum, in the event the developer does not follow through on what is outlined and what is being approved, the likelihood of being approved today, what are the consequences?
There's two consequences. First of all, any and all permitting on the county side stops.
For all communities?
That is a council question. I will carefully not answer that question and turn it over to Mr. Moore.
It would not, when you say all communities, you mean other communities owned by the
yes.
developer? I believe it's for anything in this community itself.
So how do we ensure that we could expand that to include all communities?
All of his
communities in the county.
We've asked that question in the past, and there's a couple of things that limit that ability. First off, most of the developments are incorporated in different LLCs, so they are legally different. And the other reason is, even though we know that the developer may be the same company, we can't pierce that corporate veil as it relates to the LLCs that are individually running the developments. So we've asked that question before.
Are there other mechanisms? I guess the point that I'm here, it's been 10 years, as the president has already said, and having a background in new construction and developments and builders, you know, they always don't say what they're going to do, unfortunately. So for the security of our residents, how do we ensure that they get what is being promised? And doesn't take 10 years. What leverage do we as a county have?
Well, first good step is going to be the ordinance that will be in front of you in a few weeks. That ordinance has phasing tied to the actual construction. So things can't linger like we see them linger now.
Isn't there a time of grandfathering? When to be grandfathered in?
I don't think the grandfathering would affect this. And this is a new agreement that's affecting this project. What they're trying to do is to correct issues that occurred in the past. And as Mr. Medlars indicated, this is an attempt to make us better. And as a result of signing this, we would definitely not be any worse from where we are now.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Moore, may I point you to the clause Ms. Cole and I developed, or she developed, which allows us to then enforce the memorandum without legal recourse, which
right.
is very important. Right now, we're enforcing something which really is nowhere codified. So this memorandum allows us to enforce it with the power of the law behind us because all parties signed it. Now, secondly, there's one other thing I wanted to point out is if the agreement fails, we're certainly not any better off than we are, any worse off than we are today. On the other hand, right now your code is completely silent, and the rest of the amenities do not have to be installed until the project is complete. And worst of all, the amenities as they are currently, now that at least they're buildable, let's just say the buildable amenities, as they're shown today now on the newly approved plan, are not bonded. So this gives the residents the assurance, if signed, that the amenities will be installed in a timely manner in exchange for a very detailed takedown plan.
One other question I would have is, Mr. President, if I may, and that would be in here, in the event the developer decides to walk away and somebody else picks this up, is there aura signs? Is that language in here as well? I don't.
Yes, it is.
It is. So this is attached really to the community itself,
yes.
not just this specific developer. Is that true?
Yes, and they have to notify us if the project is ever sold.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions of council? Mr. Burton.
Back to Mr. Arlett's comment. Did we actually look and see if there is different LLCs?
Yes. Yes, we do.
So there's no way to bond another community to this one?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do we have Mr. Capano's signature on this?
We have the electronic notification that he will be the signator. Once you approve it, it will go to Mr. Capano for signature.
Is there a time limit on that?
The time limit is completely up to him, because if permits want to be issued, the signature has to be on the agreement.
So there are no permits issued right now
until the agreement is executed.
Okay. All right, I have no further questions.
More questions?
Yeah, I'm still on that LLC issue. I think we had problems with LLCs years ago when they would sell property and they were somehow getting around the transfer tax, because one LLC would sell to another LLC and wouldn't transfer the property, whatever. So didn't state legislation change that, stop that practice ever?
There was a change in the transfer tax law concerning the length of time that an LLC was held.
Okay, so LLCs are not totally out there that nobody can change things on them. So with IG's questions and Rob's and stuff, it seems like the LLCs, how they mesh with county government's ability to get compliance, you know, out of things. I mean, is there a way we could get legislation again, you know, look, explore that to get this Dover to give the counties the ability to find a common thread amongst LLCs? Because many times there'll be, you know, one principal, he'll own a major portion of it, but then you have different guys in this LLC, and the next time he does the projects, he brings in a couple of these other guys, but the same guy, a lot of times, or entity, is the main money that's involved in these projects. But I'm just saying there is a common thread with these LLCs. They change the names of all these things, and it's difficult for the county to go after them because they've got this protection. But we did, it seems, through legislation, able to, you know, tackle the transfer tax and the LLC issue. You know, again, is there any way we could explore this?
I think it would be difficult, because from the state standpoint, one of the things they want to do, and Delaware makes a lot of money from the standpoint that it has a very strong corporate framework, which was expanded to include LLCs, which were basically kind of a hybrid between partnerships and corporations, gave the tax benefits of a partnership and the legal protection, limited liability from a corporation. So I think that would be difficult. And the transfer tax law we're discussing was to close a loophole where there would be a conveyance from one LLC or corporation to another LLC to make sure that the entities were exactly the same in order to get that transfer tax waiver.
But could we maybe narrow our scope just to land use decisions in rezonings and things like that, where we're not really getting into the business end or who owns what and the money part of the LLC, but we're looking at the individuals who are involved, the principals, and aren't the principals of these LLCs public?
Well, part of there's two types of principals we're referring to. Principals, you're meaning the owners, the principals of the mm-hmm. entity, but there's also the principals of the limited liability law itself. One, I guess, is the AL, and the other LE kind of principals. And the principals of the entity itself is to make sure that there is the limitation of liability, and so when you form a corporation or an LLC, that you have a completely separate entity, and that entity is standalone and has the protections under the law. So what you're trying to do is what they refer to in law is to pierce that corporate veil to go into the other entity. And as long as they are under the principles of law, if you are, you have the separate bank accounts, the separate ownership, that you operate it mm-hmm. as a separate entity, you cannot pierce that corporate veil or LLC veil. So what you're asking is some way to be able to do that, and I think that would be difficult legislatively. That's something you obviously
It just seems lately it's LLCs are giving us more problems than individuals when it comes to some of these land use issues and subdivisions and developments and stuff like that.
It's mainly because you see someone that can afford to buy a large tract of land for development, and if they're buying multiple tracts, usually they'll set up a separate LLC for each tract. Whether or not it's different owners, part of that is for the liability issue in case something happened on one tract and there was a lawsuit, so it wouldn't take everything else. So, yes, you're exactly right. You've identified the problem. I'm not so sure it's easy to identify the solution.
Well, I just didn't know if any attorneys could look at this. If do we have any attorneys that we could look to that have a special in this and see if the council would support maybe asking an opinion?
Well, one and of the things that...
You've got to ask the right question.
Sure.
That's the other
one of the things that we can do, I could pose this question to the proper committee to the Bar Association to see if other jurisdictions are having this kind of problem. If there is a potential solution, because oftentimes the legislature, if they were looking at some kind of change like this, they would go to the real property section of the law or to the corporate entities section of the law committee, the bar committee. So I could ask those committees if they've had any problems and if they would put it on their agenda for discussion.
Well, an investigation like that, I think, would be time well spent. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I would support having Everett or anybody or Todd, Hans, Chip, doesn't matter to me.
Why don't we just, I'll pose the question to the bar committee, okay, and then we can get some kind of feedback from them.
That'd be fine. Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned the word EL a while ago, AL. Can you tell me what that means?
Different spelling of the principal, whether it's a principal with the last two letters AL or mm-hmm. the last two letters EL. They have different meanings. If it's like the principles of an entity, or if it's you have a principal like a tenant or a belief, that's the difference. It was in the spelling of the word principal.
Can you help explain that to me?
No. Mr. Burton, you have a question?
I'm going to call it the Herring Bay Ordinance. Are we, if that gets adopted, does it bond whoever owns, in Mr. Arlett's question, is it and assigns? In that ordinance, if the property multiply moves from one owner to another or one LLC to another, does the Herring Bay ordinance go with it?
The bonding today goes with it. So, you know, like we have bonds today, they cannot be canceled. So, or letters of credit. So it is this particular issue here before you, and I fully appreciate Commissioner Cole's concern. But moving forward, you know, like we're always fighting the last war, and this is the last war, gentlemen, and that the new world before us, if approved, looks much better, because we're fighting design errors, we're fighting code problems, we're fighting bonding problems. This is a poster child of what has gone wrong in 2005. So, but in 2005, we were dealing with 1980s underlying design standards and bonding standards, etc. So the comprehensive approach you have before you will make, if we had this 3 years from now, you would not have the concerns you have today. But 3 years from now, Herring Bay is still waiting for amenities. They would be very upset. So I think the memorandum is timely for today, but your questions are sort of dealing with the past, and hopefully the future looks better.
And item 13 of the agreement does specifically state that it's binding on each of the parties and their respective heirs, successors, and assigns. So,
any more questions of council?
No, one last comment, and you are correct, but I will tell you, those homeowners don't think of it as being the past because it's their future. You know, I mean, they're coming here with a vision and a dream and a passion, and you know, they've been promised certain things, and they've not delivered. And I know that we want to make be responsible as a council to ensure that they get it done. And how we tie them to other successes in the county and their other communities, I guess, is the question. So if, and I don't know, maybe we figure out how to quadruple their permit fees for the other communities. I don't know. But I think we should still keep an eye on how we could still provide the incentive to ensure that in the end, they do what they say they're going to do for these homeowners. And that's all.
Any more questions of council? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll stay here with Mr. Ashman.
Mr. Ashman is next. Request to repair and post noses for Mulberry Knoll area.